Potdar against the Attorney General.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Mary Shoddy, and I represent the petitioner in this action. Now, this is a case involving a determination by the Board of Immigration Appeals that it lacked jurisdiction to consider an application filed by an alien who had been in exclusion proceedings for adjustment of status under Section 245I. This case spans three different immigration acts because it began in 1994 and it's still ongoing. The case initiated when this petitioner filed for legalization benefits asking for LULAC class membership. That application was done in 1994. He left the United States first under a grant of advance parole and returned without incident. He then asked for another grant of advance parole and returned and was given parole by the District Director of New York, who then subsequently, within about 2 or 3 months after that grant of parole was given, summarily revoked the parole, even though the legalization application had never been affirmatively adjudicated by the legalization office. The reason for revoking that parole, as it turned out many years later, was because the petitioner was suspected of being involved in a scheme to bribe immigration officers, a scheme that he had no knowledge of, never participated in, as the board subsequently ruled. Fast forward, he went through exclusion proceedings, and in those exclusion proceedings, he said, I'm entitled to come into the United States as a paroled alien because I have a legalization application. I was given advance parole. That's what the regulations said I had to have, and that's what I did get. But, of course, he didn't have any proof of this. The Immigration Service in those original proceedings said, well, we don't know that you're a legalization application. We have no knowledge of that, and that proved to be a mistake. And then they said, we have no knowledge that you ever got advance parole. And, of course, he couldn't find the advance parole document, even though he had filed 3 FOIA requests. It was after the case had been concluded by an order of exclusion, and he persistently sought to obtain this advance parole document, that he finally got it. He then filed a motion to reopen. In that motion to reopen, however, he said, in addition to the legalization application that's never been adjudicated, I'm also now eligible for 245I relief because I filed a labor certification before April 30th of 2001, and 245, which was enacted in 2000, gives me eligibility to file my adjustment of status application and have it considered by the district director. And he submitted proof that he had already filed his application for adjustment of status with the district director. What he asked the board was to consider the new facts of his situation, now that he had the advance parole document, and also to consider the fact that he had a pending adjustment of status application, which had been filed by the district director.
When did he file the adjustment of status application?
The 245I in 2003. He had filed it before he had filed his motion to reopen.
But after the original proceeding had concluded?
After the original proceeding. But while that original proceeding was ongoing, he already had filed an application for alien labor certification prior to April 30th of 2001. The board's original decision occurred in May 22nd of 2003, so he was in the pipeline. But he also had a legalization application pending that nobody has ever seen or heard the results of. So,
never been acted on?
Never been acted on. Nobody knows where it is, if it's in some sort of a federal depository in the basement. Nobody knows what happened to it. And he never received notice of any formal action on that application.
How did he recover the advance parole?
Another FOIA request.
So the government had it?
Of course it did. It had it. Now, I can't blame the district council because the advance parole document was given to the district director at the Port of Entry in New York. But the district director at the Port of Entry in New York had information about this bribery scheme that was ongoing, this investigation that was ongoing in Chicago that resulted in indictment and conviction of some guy by the name of Shaw. And the only connection that petitioner had to this Shaw was that he was listed as one of the clients that this man evidently represented in proceedings, in some sort of applications. I would assume that Mr. Shaw prepared the application for legalization and submitted it, and I would assume that Mr. Shaw also obtained employment authorization for Mr. Potdar, but Mr. Potdar never intended to bribe anybody to get this. So he now has a legalization application that's already unresolved. He has an application for adjustment of status that he wants the district director to consider.
What's the status of that now?
We don't know. There has been no finding, no denial, nothing.
Was a stay ever entered by anyone pending the disposition of these two applications?
Well, the court, this court entered a stay of the exclusion order effectuating his deportation.
Before that?
No. He asked the Board of Immigration Appeals to stay the exclusion order so that he could have his application from the district director concluded. But the board misinterpreted all of that and said, we don't have any jurisdiction to consider an application for adjustment of status. Well, be that as it may, the regulations have now been changed after the board's order. The Attorney General has deleted a whole section of 245.1C8, which precluded aliens who came in on a grant of advance parole from filing their applications for adjustment of status in front of the district director and also from the immigration court. And there were a series of four decisions that said that this was an unreasonable construction of Section 245, which has never been amended, that says that an alien has been admitted and inspected or paroled if they are eligible, can adjust their status in the United States. So with the Attorney General's changeover of this regulation that was the spirit behind the board's order saying we have no jurisdiction to consider an application for adjustment of status, with the change, I suggested to this court that the case be remanded so the board can decide whether it still adheres to that decision in light of this regulatory change. And that's one of the considerations that I'm asking. The court has to understand, however, and I believe, that the petitioner got a raw deal. Evidence was denied him, and once it was presented, it was ignored. He is entitled to have his application for legalization adjudicated. It's been pending for 17 years now. He is entitled to have the district director consider his application for adjustment of status. If it's denied, he has the right to go back to the board and say, reconsider it. He needs due process. A minimal amount of due process is what we're asking for.
Thank you. Have you actually asked for all of this?
Pardon, sir? I'm sorry.
I mean, the fact that this has not been adjudicated for 17 years, did you look into it or somebody look into it?
Well, I'm sure he had two previous counsels that looked into it.
Oh.
But the fact remains is that if that application hasn't been adjudicated, he's still entitled to the advance parole.
What if it has been?
Pardon?
Is it possible that it has been adjudicated and that's why?
Well, he would have gotten notice.
Well, he got notice that his parole was revoked or whatever they call it.
But the district director revoked the parole saying that the purposes of the parole had been accomplished without specifying what it was that was accomplished.
Could have been that.
Well, but he didn't have any notice of the denial. Plus, he had a right to appeal the denial of the legalization application if it, in fact, had occurred. But he had no notice of that either. The whole reason for revoking the parole stemmed from the information the district director of New York got of this bribery scheme that was an ongoing criminal investigation. And from there followed the exclusion proceedings. It wasn't because his legalization application was denied, because if that had been the case, the district director would have said so. I can't imagine the district director not saying that. We ask for the court to remand this case in light of the change in the regulations. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear now from Ms. Moore.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Catherine Moore, and I represent the respondent, the Attorney General of the United States. Your Honors, the respondent is respectfully requesting that the court deny the petition for review in this matter. The petitioner was ordered excluded from the United States by an immigration judge in 1999. That decision was upheld by the Board of Immigration Appeals in 2003. the petitioner did not timely seek review or reconsideration of that decision before the board or before this court. The sole issue in this proceeding today is whether the Board of Immigration Appeals abused its discretion when it declined to reopen the case to consider the petitioner's latest application for adjustment of status. The petitioner now seeks to adjust his status to that of a lawful permanent resident based upon a visa petition filed by the Amatron Corporation in 2003. It is clear under the regulations that that adjustment of status application is unreviewable by the immigration judge and the board. The petitioner concedes as much in his reply brief at page 5. The pertinent regulations are at section 1245 of 8 CFR. The board based its decision to decline the motion to reopen upon the regulation at 1245.2A, which discusses the jurisdiction of the immigration court. That regulation is not to be confused with a separate regulation, 245.1C8, which addresses the eligibility of certain aliens to apply for adjustment of status. As the petitioner's counsel has correctly noted, that regulation addressing the eligibility of aliens to apply for adjustment of status was the subject of an inter-circuit split. Rather than to continue the validity of that regulation, the Attorney General revoked it, effective May 12, 2006, for all cases pending judicial review at that point. So again, the Immigration Court determined that it did not have jurisdiction to consider the application for adjustment of status under the pertinent regulation 8 CFR 1245.2A, and that regulation remains intact.
Who does review it?
Your Honor, the DHS is now responsible for reviewing that application. Petitioner believes that he has been denied a forum for seeking adjustment of status. That is not the case. The regulations are clear that if an alien is in exclusion proceedings as an arriving alien and that alien wishes to seek adjustment of status, that alien must seek that adjustment of status before the DHS.
But was he an arriving alien when he came back?
Yes, Your Honor. The petitioner was an arriving alien, and that it is settled law that an alien who is granted advanced parole is treated as an individual who is legally at the border seeking admission, regardless of his physical presence in the United States. That much was noted in this court's decision in Domensky versus INS.
But nobody knew he had advanced parole because he couldn't show a certificate.
Your Honor, the petitioner's motion to terminate proceedings filed on April 5th, 2004 is a baseless collateral attack on the agency's final order of removal. But without conceding the jurisdictional argument, I'll answer your question, Your Honor. It is true that there was confusion before the immigration judge regarding whether or not the petitioner had been granted parole. However, any confusion before the immigration judge had been cured when that case was appealed to the Board of Immigration Appeals. The board's decision specifically acknowledged it appears that the applicant was paroled into the United States at the time he returned from India. That's found in the administrative record at page 79. Your Honors, the petitioner is arguing fact to contest the board's conclusion of law, which was that as an arriving alien who had been paroled into the United States, the petitioner was subject to exclusion proceedings. The board declined to follow the Ninth Circuit case Gutierrez versus Espinoza. The board declined to hold that an immigrant seeking legalization was somehow excused from that basic legal principle.
What happened to the petition for legalization?
I do not know, Your Honor.
What could that have given this alien if it had been granted?
I'd like to make a correction here to the facts. The petitioner is not an applicant for legalization. The petitioner is an applicant for class membership under litigation that has been ongoing. The latest regulations enacted under the LIFE Act in 2001 have created new procedures for those litigants to pursue their claims. However, the Board of Immigration Appeals has no jurisdiction to consider legalization applications.
What, you're referring to litigation as a class action?
That's correct, Your Honor. It's the Lulac-Newman class action lawsuit.
And who is that against? The Attorney General? What are they seeking? Let me put it that way.
Your Honor, there are certain applicants who did not apply for legalization in 1986 who claimed that they were, quote-unquote, front-desked or somehow discouraged by the INS from applying. The administrative record only contains an application that was filled out by the petitioner for membership of one of these class actions. He claimed that, I believe in 1988, he claims that at the age of, he would have been 13 at that point, he went to the INS office and tried to seek membership as he tried to seek legalization, and he was discouraged from applying. The administrative record only shows that that application was fraudulently filed, and there's no further, I have no further information to indicate what his status is with regard to that application.
Later, the labor application, what's happening with that now? Is that still pending as far as you know?
Yes, Your Honor, that application is still pending.
So it all comes down to the fact that you take the position that the Attorney General can still have this individual leave the country despite the fact those two applications are still pending.
Yes, Your Honor. The petitioner has not exhausted his administrative remedies because he has not pursued his legalization application or his adjustment of status application before INS. And it's the government's position that yes, Your Honor.
How could he do that? You said you said the board didn't have any jurisdiction over them, am I right?
The board does not have jurisdiction over those applications. However, USCIS does, Your Honor.
And what could he do at this point that he is not doing?
I do not know the answer to that question, Your Honor. As far as I know, the application for adjustment of status is still pending. At least that's the information that's provided on their public website.
Before whom?
Pardon?
Before
USCIS, Your Honor.
It is.
That application for adjustment of status is still pending, Your Honor.
And it has an employer affidavit with it, I presume.
Well, the administrative record, Your Honor, shows that the labor certification has been approved, and the next step, Your Honor, is for for the petitioner to wait for the visa petition. But again, Your Honor, these are issues that were not before the immigration court and before the immigration board.
Well, as a practical matter, though, if those are still pending, you can still, if we would hold in your favor, exclude him from the U.S.?
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct.
Would he have any more rights if he had been admitted rather than when he first showed up?
Your Honor, he was not admitted. He was ordered excluded in 2003 because he did not establish that he had any legal authority to be in the United States. He had no visa at that time.
He what?
He had no visa to enter the country.
I'm positing a hypothetical. If he had had a visa and was lawfully admitted, would he have any more rights than he has now to stay?
Yes, Your Honor. I think I'd agree with that statement that immigrants who come to this country who are already here, who are in deportation proceedings, generally have more avenues of relief available to them than an immigration who is an immigrant who is in exclusion proceedings.
What is this statute, 8 U.S.C. 1255E2A, this prohibits the deportation of an alien who has an IRCA application pending, I believe?
Your Honor, are you referring to a – I see that my time has expired, but I'll answer your question. Are you referring to a statute that is in the petitioner's brief or the respondent's brief?
I'm sorry. I don't have the brief in front of me. I have my own notes here.
Mm-hmm.
That statute seemed to say that you cannot deport an alien who has an IRCA application pending. Is that, does that apply to this man?
Are you talking about who? We cannot deport an alien who has a legalization application pending, Your Honor?
An IRCA application, which is...
Okay. Oh, the legalization application. Your Honor, while it is true that the government will not deport an alien who has a legalization application as distinguished from the adjustment of status application, while that is true, that doesn't prohibit the government from entering a final order. It only prohibits the government from executing that order.
So this fellow has a legalization application pending, right?
Your Honor, I do not know the answer to that question. The information in the administrative record does not show that he still has a legalization application pending, or to be more precise, an application for class membership pending.
Of course, it didn't show the at least initially the advanced parole either, did it?
Not before the immigration judge, Your Honor, but as I earlier said, that confusion was cured on appeal to the board.
Assuming that statute is applicable to this individual, if the...
Your Honor, do you refer to the legalization statute?
If that... But we had affirmed the decision today, what, if any, legal recourse would the alien have if they tried to deport him anyway?
I do not know the answer to that question, Your Honor.
So we really have here a miscommunication between two branches of the executive, don't we? The Attorney General and Department of Homeland Security. That's basically what's going on. Folks want him out, and you want him out now, and DHS is sitting on its hands.
No, Your Honor. He's at this point in time, he has no legal basis to be in the country. And until he establishes that legal basis, he is subject to a final order of exclusion. If there are no further questions, the respondent respectfully requests that the court deny the petition for review in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Counsel, you have a minute left.
I think my adversary has really set my case out for me better than I can even do. There is a baggage order out there. This court granted a stay of that order pending this case. At the same time, the district director hasn't moved one inch on the adjustment of status application. The legalization office hasn't moved one inch either to determine he's a class member or to actually give him legalization on the merits. There is one piece of paper in the file that says, recommend grant, but it is highly suspicious. And that was the entry made by a legalization officer after he was interviewed. We have nothing further on the legalization application, and it's now 2007. We have nothing further on the adjustment of status application, and it's now 2007. What is the point of giving somebody advanced parole if you sandbag them when they come back to the United States, hoping to get relief that they had pending, applied for, paid the fee before they left? This is not a rule of law. This is an agency that is disordered, separated, and insensitive. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Our thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.